Blog Talk Radio.
Hot-headed Jonah,
stand together.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Tuesday night Bible study. Thank God for each of you who are on tonight. This evening, everyone's mic is open, so you can join in and participate with us this evening. Again, thank you for your presence. I got a little problem here with Blog Talk. Chat room doesn't want to open, but however, we're going to do what we can do. Will you bow your heads for just a moment as we have a word of prayer before we begin? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity that you've given us to come together to share and to study your word. Lord, we thank you for just being God. We thank you for waking us this morning. We thank you for keeping us through this day. We thank you for all of your provisions, the roof over our heads, the food on our tables, the clothes on our backs. We just thank you for all that you have given us. And dear Lord, we ask that you would bless us, that you would strengthen us, that you keep us, help us to do your will. Help us to obey your word. Help us to draw others to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. So praise God. Well, we thank God again for this opportunity to be here tonight. Tonight, we wanted, before we get into Bible study, we thank God again for each of you. This past this Sunday morning, as most of you know, Bishop Eddie Long out of Atlanta, he succumbed to his illness, and he's no longer with us. And so ask that we pray for his loved ones and that's left behind, and we'll talk about that situation some other time. But tonight we want to talk about a subject I had chosen tonight, a sort of a controversial topic. Topics certainly shouldn't be controversial, but because we are not guided by God as the way we should be, it happens to be controversial in this day. The church has to stand on the word of God. The world will not stand on the word of God. The world does not like the word of God. The world does not enjoy God's word. But it's imperative that the church stand on the word of God, proclaim the word of God, and more importantly, live the word of God. There are things that God had told the children of Israel that you are to instruct your children in the ways of the Lord, and also remind their children's children and pass it down through generations so that each generation that would come along would be a generation who understood what God had done for his people in the past. And if we want God to continue to bless us and to give us favor as he has done in the past, then we as God's people must live as God would have us to live. The society that we live in today is a society that hates God, society that hates God's word. And anytime, even if you preach God's word according to what the scripture says, people get angry, people want to stone you, people want to discredit you and try to discredit the word of God. But as Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. Now, when we look at marriage, marriage was an institution that we see in the Bible that God approves, that God established. First married couple were the first couple that God created, and that was Adam and Eve. We know how Adam was created first. Then God looked at man and looked at his loneliness, and he created woman, and he united them as one. And one portion of the scripture said that he called both of them Adam. In other words, both of them represented mankind. So marriage is an institution that God has always blessed and he established. But somewhere down the line, we have gotten off course about what God would want us to do. One of the reasons we get off course is sometimes is people, we marry for the wrong reason. We don't marry out of a commitment of love. We marry out of a desire of lust. Another reason we marry is to get away from home, get out of mama's house, and get our own house. So sometimes we'll marry and not in love. We decide, well, we'll get married. We'll work on this thing, and we'll fall in love later. And I guess that used to work years ago, because people would marry and they took that vow seriously, till death do us part. And so when you get married and you have made up your mind that I'm only going to marry this one, I'm going to stick it out, I'm going to work through this, then you'll be able to say till death do us part. But now we live in a society where people get married and it's not till death do us part, it's till somebody makes me mad enough to leave. But as we are going to look in the scripture tonight, we're going to look at the words of Jesus, and we're going to look as to what God has to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And again, you know, this is a sticky subject. Doesn't have to be. Church just stand on the word of God and go by what God says and let it be it. But we don't have that tenacity when it comes to discipline. But we have that tenacity when it comes to wanting something. We were talking about years ago, name it and claim it. And then we said, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. When it comes to the weightier matters that we deal with, we don't have that same tenacity of God. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. We look for a way out of what God has said. Get your Bibles and turn with me tonight to the book of St. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning at the first verse. And when you get it, say amen.
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 Okay. And it reads, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her that who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, "Is such the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said unto them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there were eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, we look at what Jesus had to say according to the scripture. We see that the Pharisees had come and they were trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap him up. And they asked the question, is it lawful for a man to his wife for just any reason? Is it lawful to get a divorce just to be getting a divorce? Now, this was a question no one would ask because it didn't make sense. But you have to realize also the condition of that day. You had Herod, who had several wives and killed some of the wives, had killed John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist, he got on one of the Herods about committing adultery and being married to his brother's wife. And John the Baptist got put in prison because he told the truth according to the word of God. And here was this Herod, this king, who was a Jew by, I want to say, acclamation. The Herods, they were not natural Jews, but they were living in a region, a certain region of Israel, and the Jews recaptured the land, and they made a decree that everyone who basically was not a Jew was going to have to get out, or if you stay, you're going to have to worship God the way they did. And so Herod's family eventually went on and accepted Judaism, and they became Jews in that sense. And so they joined it for political reasons. Like, you'll have people today who will join churches not because they feel they needed to get close to God, but sometimes people join out of political reasons. Oh, there are people in this church that are more connected, and I want to be close to them so I can have some type of connection. Maybe the people here have better jobs, and I want to get in with this crowd to get a better job, or this crowd lives in a better location and I want to live in a different area. So sometimes people join the church not because they are really seeking God, but they join out of selfish reasons. So John the Baptist ended up going to prison for speaking to the king about divorce and remarriage, and we know how he ended up dead and having a ball. His wife's daughter came in and she danced so wonderfully to the king that he got happy. Was, I guess, like some of the men going to the strip joint, the women dance and do, and the men throw their money. And so she danced so wonderfully, he got caught up in the moment and told her, "Whatever you want, I'll give it to you." And so she consulted with her mother. "Ooh, what should I ask the king for? He told me I can have anything I want." And so she told him, "Go tell him that you want John the Baptist's head on a platter." And so the king had spoken this, that she could have anything she wanted. He spoke it before multitude of people. So he felt that he was bound by his word, and he ended up having John the Baptist beheaded and brought to the his head brought to the banquet hall. Some people get angry when it comes to the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Just as Herod got angry, we have people today still who get angry. We have all the excuses in the world as to why we have to get divorced. But you have to remember, just because you get divorced doesn't mean that you have to get married again. And so this is the problem that we run into in the church, is that the mindset is, if I get divorced, I have to get married again. So there's Jesus. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? There had been in the Mosaic law, as Jesus referenced Moses, that there was a reason that a man could divorce his wife. It was because of fornication. But the problem was that it wasn't a equally applied law. It was basically the man having the option to get the divorce. And we know that women didn't have the same equal status as the men, so it was more often the woman who was put away rather than the woman putting the man away. And so the Jews had developed this idea that over the period of time from Moses' time up until Jesus' time, that basically the man had a right to divorce the woman if he was no longer satisfied with her. And we look in some of the other instances when they brought the woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery, and that the Jewish community had this attitude and thinking, wrong thinking, and Jesus straightened it out, that a man could not commit adultery. Only the women could commit adultery, and the men could only commit fornication. So we look at that portion of scripture, we think it is double talk, but that's actually how they viewed it in that day. They didn't bring the man saying he had committed adultery because at that time they didn't feel that the men could commit adultery, that the man could only commit fornication. So they bring the woman to Jesus saying, we caught her in the, well, she was caught in the very act of adultery. So the woman didn't have the equal rights, the equal standing, and so she wasn't afforded the same protection as the man. So the question here, they asked Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? And so Jesus' answer was, according to the word of God. Just as we dealt with last week, we were dealing with the temptation that Jesus was, the temptations that Jesus faced when he was in the wilderness. Each time Satan would come trying to get Jesus to do that which was against God's will for his life, Jesus would always come back with the word of God. Remember, he told Satan each time, it is written. It is written. In other words, God's word is law, and God's word says this. So the same thing that he did with the enemy, he deals with the Pharisees, and he said, ask them a question, have you not read? In other words, haven't you been searching the scriptures? Are you ignorant of the word? And he tells them what? He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. So he even goes back to basic facts. Made them male and female. So the ones who can get married are who? Man and a woman, male and female. And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then they are no longer but one, two but one flesh. Therefore, what God have joined together, let no man separate. So Jesus gave them that word. Then they come back and ask the question, well, why didn't Moses allow for a certificate of divorce? And Jesus said it was because of your the hardness of your hearts. You're evil. Your hearts are not right. And so he tells them, whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So you go back to the point when they bring the woman who's caught in adultery. They were trying to separate adultery and fornication. But Jesus did not separate it that the woman commits adultery and the man commits fornication. Because remember, he had made this statement that whosoever looks at a woman with lust have already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus brings it back that it's not only the woman that can commit adultery, it's also the man who can commit adultery. So it's not a woman issue, it's a mankind issue. Men can commit adultery just as well as the women. So in a society that's governed by God, or a society that is influenced by God, it sees marriage as that of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. But a godless society, a society that's without God, sees marriage in a multitude of ways. See husband and husband, wife and wife, men and women operating their homes without the benefit of getting married. They claim they don't want the burden of marriage, but they want the benefits of marriage. And he's saying in the world, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? But the traditional wedding vows that we would take, we would say what? We would love, honor, obey, love, honor, cherish. We would say for better or worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. But we get to the point that we say these words, we make these vows, but soon as times go south on us, we'll pack up and leave and think nothing of it and say real quick, if she won't do or he won't do, I'll go find somebody else. But according to God's word, that is not the way God has intended for us to live. Praise God. Anybody have any question or comment before we move on? Somebody speaking?
No, sir.
Now, according to Jesus, according to Matthew 19:9, there's only one biblical reason for divorce, and that is unfaithfulness, sexual unfaithfulness on the part of the marriage partner. Now, when we say divorce, when we say the word divorce, we are meaning the dissolving of the marriage with the right to remarry. That's what we're talking about, divorce. We're not just not talking about just going and filing for a divorce and having the marriage ended, put it to an end. But we're talking about, we use the term divorce, we're talking about being able to legally terminate the marriage and have the right to, or the position to, remarry in the sight of God and not be in sin. Now, according to Matthew 19, the mate who is sinned, who against, is free to divorce and remarry. But the one who, according to the word of God now, but the one who's not the innocent party does not have a right in God's eyesight to go and remarry. But again, this is the one of the problem areas that we have in this country of being Christians. I saw somewhere years ago and didn't write the stats down for today. Just thought about it just now. But in this country that we live in, divorce rate in the world is over 50%, like 51%. But one of the other areas in the church, the divorce rate is 40%. That was a study done a few years ago. So we have this problem in the world. We have this problem in the church. And so if, according to the word of God, according to what Jesus said, if one divorces, then remarries, and is not based upon a scriptural reason that Jesus has stated, then people are living in sin and they're not really married, but in God's eyesight, they are fornicators. So we have to ask the question, how does the church reconcile what God's word clearly states as opposed to what's happening in the society that we live in? So how do we reconcile what God's word says as opposed to what's happening in the world? And you see, even in the church, people will be in the church, they will get saved, they will begin to follow the Lord. Then you see them drifting away from God, divorce their spouse, remarry while they're outside of the church, then come back to church, want to give their life to the Lord, rededicate themselves, and move on from there. So the church has gotten to the point where we just let people continue with these actions, turn a blind eye, and say, well, to each his own. But if we're going to be the church that God is calling for, as we quote in these last and evil days, if we're going to be these holy vessels of God, if we're going to be the redeemed, then the redeemed need to stand on God's word and proclaim God's word. Now, again, we can't force people to obey God's word, but we can and should be teaching the true word of God so that people will grow in the knowledge of God and be what God have created us to be. And it's so bad now, we go into the church, again, going into the church. It used to be a time that the preacher decided he was going to get divorced and remarried, Rev had to go somewhere and sit down because the Bible clearly states that that was out of order. People would go back to 1 Timothy 3 and 3rd chapter, said about the bishop. And when it said bishop, it's not talking about an ecclesiastical office. It's talking about it includes the word bishop includes the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, the preachers of the gospel, that they were to be the husband of one wife. And so, but now we have people who will get divorced, remarried. I'm talking about preachers, talking about the pulpit, get married, living in adultery according to God's word, will not repent and go on and do what they want to do. And then the church sees this and the church operates the same way. And the scripture said, like people, like priests. Is the church going to respond? Well, it's important that as the church, as God's people, we have to respond according to God's word. That's why it's important that we teach our children what God's word really says, put it in their hearts and in their minds, so that when they become adults, they too will obey God's word and not take God's word for granted and not try to use God's word and as a tool to do the desires of their own heart rather than trying to please God. And I've shared this with you all. When I came into the world, my paternal grandparents were not together. And so I had assumed that they were divorced. And they hadn't been together since my father was young. And so it was just a natural assumption that they were divorced. But I didn't find out that they had never divorced. It separated, but guess they had never divorced and didn't find that out until my grandmother had passed. But that was the attitude in that day, that you got married, you didn't get a divorce, you stayed married, and if you couldn't stay together for whatever reason, that you separated, but you didn't go and get a divorce and remarry because that was against God's word. But again, we live in different times, and people do what they want to do now rather than trusting God and obeying the word of God. So the society that we live in says we'll do what we want to do. And basically this is what the society does. But again, it's imperative that the church stand on God's word. It's imperative that the church teach God's word. And it's imperative that the church live as God wants us to live. And so what is the church to do? We have people who come to God, want to be saved, want to join the church, but we later find out that they come to God, then want to divorce who they're married to and marry somebody else for non-scriptural reasons. Today we divorce because of domestic violence, and yeah, you should run. Man beating you, threatening to kill you, yes, you should run. But even with domestic violence, did Jesus say that was a reason that you had a right to divorce and remarry? Yes, you have a right, a duty to get away from the abusive situation. But do you have the right to remarry just because you were in an abusive situation? And again, how do we get in a lot of situations? We do not trust God. We do not wait on God. We don't ask God anything. We just tell God what we're going to do. I know as a pastor, people come to me, you know, even members, and say, Pastor, I need you to counsel us. We're going to get married. And my first response is, why do I need to counsel you? You already made your decision to get married and who you're going to marry. I said, you should have had counseling first, because with the counseling, you may see that that you all are not compatible and that you two shouldn't be getting married and that you're not right for one another. And I always tell them that, but because people have already made up their mind, well, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to do, and we don't care what you really have to say. We just want you to sanction the choice that we have made, and that's the way we have gotten with God, that we're telling God, now we don't care what you have to say. We just want you to sanction that which we're going to do. So we just say something, and then we say in the name of Jesus and expect that to fly over with God. Again, waiting for your Mother Brooks, did you have anything to say?
No, I don't. You are doing a good job. You're using the scriptures to explain. So really, there are no questions. You have to do what the Bible says.
Okay. Thank you. Were you saying something else?
No, I was just going to ask you, did you hear me?
Yes, we hear you good. Okay, who do we have on the line? The 708 number. 708 area code.
Sister Dixon.
Sister Dixon. Hi, yeah, God bless you. Oh, good to hear you. Hadn't spoken to you in a while. How are you feeling?
I don't know, by the grace of God. I'm not well at all, but God is able and he's good.
Okay. All right. Can we reach you at that number? We can reach you at that number, right? The 708 number?
Yeah, that's my cell, but you also, yes, you can. But you also
okay,
can reach me at 662-834-4810.
Okay, that's the same number. I didn't write it down. I think I know I had your number in my. Okay. All right. Well, again, glad to speak to you tonight. Yes. I don't think I've spoken to you since this summer.
Right, when I had the surgery.
Yes. Okay, God bless you. Well, we have, if no one else has a question tonight, we're going to kind of draw this to a close. In this situation, we really had a lot of stuff, like a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, but I really didn't want to do everything in one setting. Again, like I said, it's a controversial topic. The reason it's controversial because we try to operate in the world as well as we operate in the church. So, and that's really the only reason that it's controversial. According to God, it's not controversial. God told us. So we just have to be willing to accept what God says. And the only controversy is that we try to get around God's word and we try to establish our own word and establish our own laws. But I always tell everyone, Jesus is coming back. Scripture have declared it. And his word is the final say. We can try to justify all the actions that we take, but we have to understand that one day we'll all have to stand before the Lord and we'll have to give an account. And the excuse of everybody else was doing it will not fly, because God is going to judge us as individuals. So for tonight, I'm gonna close it here, and next week we want to deal with more toward remarriage. How do we handle remarriage? And so again, thank each of you that took the time to call in to listen in. Again, I hate that the chat room would not open for those who just wanted to use the computer and listen in and interact through the computer. Again, as I said last week, with technology, it shows out when the people show up. Chat room opened briefly before the program signed on, and then about 2 minutes before it was time to sign on, the chat room acted up. It closed and would not reopen. But thank you, everybody. Before we go, Any other prayer requests?
Yes, but I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going, Miss Dale, by the way, I'm going back to when you referred to back in the day that if a leader was to divorce and remarry, he had to sit down. I'm trying to see how I'm saying. As far as being involved in church and being a person that people look at you as a person of God, if you was to divorce and decide to remarry and you confess your sins to God, you repent, and but you're already at the point of that you've already remarried, is that marriage looked as a frown upon God, or because I have confessed and I'm trying to get it right with God, is it, I guess I'm trying to see, once you remarry and you find out that it's wrong or I'm in sin, but I've confessed my sin, am I still, is my marriage still frowned upon?
Okay, so you're not going to wait till next week. Okay. Okay.
Oh, that's the next. That's, okay. If that's next week,
no,
then that's fine.
We're not going to wait. We're going to deal with it now.
Okay.
That's why I had asked earlier that we want to, anybody have any questions. So if you had questions, that's good. Nobody spoke up earlier. All right. Now. If you go to, say you want to go to seminary. Now, if you want to go to, in Memphis, we have a few seminaries. We have, what is it, Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary over there near Bellevue Baptist Church. Not on the street Bellevue is on. I guess across the street, you have the Harding Graduate School. You had, can't think of the name of it, but the Cumberland Presbyterian Church has a seminary. But at Mid-America, in the application process, if you have ever been divorced, whether you were the guilty party or not, you cannot enroll in Mid-America Baptist to study theology or to get your divinity degrees, whether it be a master's or the doctorate. So if you're a person who have been divorced and with Mid-America, unless they changed it in the last few years, even if you're not the guilty party, but you divorced and have remarried, they will not accept you as a student. And the reason they won't accept you is because they hold firm to this passage of scripture that preacher has to be the husband of one wife. And so, and I guess the humanitarian thing would be to investigate each student who has been married and divorced and look at the merits of each case and to see if the person was actually the innocent party and had a right to remarry according to the scripture. But they don't do that And I can understand why not, because you get into investigating the student, the person who's trying to become a minister, a pastor, whatever, get into the ministry, you know, he could get his former wife to, you know, pay her to say that it was her fault when it may not have been her fault. It may have been his fault. But because he has some money and she doesn't have any and she needs some, you know, give her a few, I would give you a few thousand or several thousand to say this on my behalf so that I can get into this program. And so they just don't want to deal with it. But then there are some other seminaries that they don't, that's one of the aspects that they don't look at, and they will let you in. So, again, these things haven't been taking place except for, you know, the way they are now, except for the last 25 years. So I'm 58. And I'm not sure that I actually met the first divorced and remarried pastor, and what I would call legitimate pastor, not a jackleg. I didn't meet one of those men until I was like 23. So that was something that was just one qualification people just, they wouldn't back down from. But now again, society we live in now, as long as you can hoop holler and make me feel good, you can do what you want to do. And I'm gonna turn a blind eye and a deaf ear because I want to do the same thing. But according to God, but again, we go back to God's word. In God's word, there's no leeway because you did wrong. You decided to, you repented and decided to do right. Can I just leave everything in the past and move on from right where I am? In some things you can, other things you can't. And that's one of the things that you can't. Just because you repent doesn't mean that everything is over. Some things that you will carry for a lifetime. Even though God has, again, forgiven you, there's still the consequences of what you have done may still remain in effect. You know, we go and we fornicate. Yes, we can ask God to forgive us of our sins, forgive us for falling into temptation, forgive us for yielding to the temptation, forgive us for remaining in that temptation for a period of time. But again, there may be consequences. Just because I repent, not going to make that baby disappear that we ended up having. Just because I repent doesn't make those child support payments null and void or going to disappear. So just because God has forgiven us does not necessarily mean that we can avoid the consequences that go along with those actions that we have taken previously. Yeah, well, as we were talking about last week and talking about Sunday, that message that Charles Stanley preached, and it said, and one of the points he was talking about, where we get caught up in temptation is because we don't look at the big picture. We only look at the pleasure of sin, look at the small picture, and don't take into consideration or the consequences that could come about because we want to have enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment. But again, now you're going. But now again, okay. I take this. I'm use Church of God in Christ as an example. Now, when I was coming up, Church of God in Christ held on to that portion of Scripture that if the man of God got a divorce and remarried, he couldn't pastor anymore. And they would put the preacher out of the church, basically. And if he wanted to pastor, he would have to leave the Church of God in Christ and go somewhere else where the people would accept him. And so you would have Church of God in Christ preachers who would have divorced and remarried, and they would end up coming into the Methodist church or coming into the Baptist churches and being pastors there. But then you had some who would get divorced and remarried, but because they were friends with bishops or had something on the bishop that they wouldn't necessarily have to get out of the church, they'd have to repent for a while and take a back seat for a while, then eventually they got their positions back. But basically those were somebody who were connected in some way, had something on somebody, and so they kept what they had. But if you didn't have anything on anybody, you were put out of the church. But now, in 2017, you have a lot of them, a lot of the preachers, while they're pastors, get divorced as a pastor, remarry, and bishop says nothing, does nothing. Why not? Because more than likely, that individual has something on the bishop or someone who has the authority to enforce God's word, and they don't do it. So now we live in a backslidden era where we're doing things, we're going in the name of God, but the truth of the matter is God is not pleased. So we're not really obeying God. We're just doing things in the name of God. But we're not trying to please God and walk according to his word. We're trying to walk according to the desires of our heart and the desires of our flesh. And so, but if we decide that we're going to yield our will to God's will, then we'll start walking and obeying God. You know, one of the reasons we get married because we feel that we can't leave, we need somebody. I got to have somebody. But the true child of God recognizes that God is able to keep you. And we always have to remember that God can keep anybody who wants to be kept. And he can't keep anybody who doesn't want to be kept. So if you want to be kept, God can keep. If you don't want to be kept, God can't keep. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did.
Sister Dad. Okay. Like I say, you know, that, you know, that doesn't sound, now what I said doesn't, according to the world's wisdom, doesn't make any sense. Now the world's wisdom said, well, I have repented and God has forgiven me, But just because we say that God has forgiven us does not necessarily restore us back to our previous position in God. It's like the person, all right, let me use this instance. You're in the church, you're saved, but you're stealing the money. You're over the finance committee, but you're stealing the money. And you stole a whole lot of money. You stole so much that we had to have an audit, call the police, and you've gone to jail for stealing the money. You get out of jail, you come back to the church, you say that you're sorry. While you're in prison, you gave your life to the Lord. You rededicated yourself. Should we take you back in as a church member? Sure. Should we love you? Sure. Should we accept you with open arms? Sure. Should we put you back in the finance room?
No.
Nope.
No.
No. We shouldn't. We love you. We restore you back as a child of God, but we just can't restore you back into that position. And, you know, and so it's in the same way. One of the things that we don't teach, even in Bible college. One of the things we don't really teach anymore, and that's ethics, ethical behavior. Now, we just assume because people are Christians, people are say that they're children of God, that their behavior is going to always be ethical. That's not necessarily so. We have to teach people how to be ethical. Teach people what is ethical behavior. What is right behavior. And because that's something that people in this society don't really understand. Ethical behavior. It's just get what you do, anything and everything to achieve that which you desire. And so that's the attitude now. So we don't operate with ethics and say, well, I can't do it that way because it's just not ethical. It may not be illegal. Just because something is not illegal does not make it ethical. And so we may have a legal right to do something, but what we're doing just may not be ethical. And so these are things that we fall short of. Praise God. Anybody else have a question? Questions? Okay. Again, thank you for coming in tonight. Join us next Tuesday night at this time, 7 o'clock. I was going to try to do Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I'm going to go for just Tuesday for right now. And hopefully eventually we can add another night. I enjoyed this. I enjoy sharing with you out of God's word. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the camaraderie. Enjoy the questions. So, again, thank each of you for calling in. Thank each of you for holding on. And let's continue to pray for each other. And remember, Inauguration Day is Friday. And so it'll no longer be President-elect Trump. It'll be President Trump for at least the next 4 years. But the scripture does admonish us to pray for our leaders. So. Let's pray for him, as someone would say, he needs much prayer, as do all of them. Okay, I'm going to give a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again that you bless us to come together. I pray that you would bless us the rest of this week. Help us to be victorious. Help us to overcome. Keep us in perfect peace. Dear Lord, I pray tonight for Sister Dixon. We pray that you would bless her, that you would strengthen her, that you would touch her body, that you would give her strength, that you would give her healing, that you would give her deliverance. I pray for Mother Brooks. We pray that you would touch her body, that you would bless her, that you would strengthen her. Touch them both from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Let your healing virtue flow through their bodies tonight. Dear Lord, let them sleep in peace and continue to bless us. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one, bless every family that's represented here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. See you next week. Thank you.